Rise and shine, everyone. It's Amy, and I am so excited to be here today for Amy's Kids Show. We have a special edition again this week. We are celebrating we humans, because boy, are we creative or what? Today, we're going to celebrate something. I don't know. You might be surprised. You might not be. And it's actually connected to the theme we've been having for many weeks now, which is neighbors. Believe it or not, our celebration today is all about the President of the United States of America. The President of the United States of America. And our theme was going to be how cool, you know, the president is, and to remind you that your neighbors are just as cool as the president. Well, guess what? I realized that that's not totally true. I mean, it is true. But like most things in life, there are other things that are true too, and something else just alongside it that's also true is that your neighbors are as cool and important as the president. And the president is as cool and important as your neighbors. Because your neighbors are super important, just as important, really, as the president of the United States. But of course, the president of the United States of America gets a lot of attention. Have you noticed? Has anybody noticed how much the president of the United States of America is talked about? On TV, on the radio, with the grown-ups, even the kids, I hear, are talking about the President of the United States of America. And usually, these kinds of conversations happen around election season, which is starting to come up, right? We still have over a year before people of our country, of the United States of America, are going to vote for the next president. But already people are talking about it. And I know that like a year is a really, really long time. And that's going to be a long time to talk about it. So we're going to jump ahead of the curve here. We're going to get right in ahead and talk about the president today. Today we are talking about the president and celebrating who is the president of the United States of America. Because our book today is one of my favorite things to think about. It's called So You Want to Be President? Have you ever thought of being president? What about you? What about you being a leader, right? Well, some people might feel too shy to be president of the United States, but guess what? Your neighbors are just as cool and important as the president, and that means you are too. Thanks for joining me.
cooperate, collaborate, we gotta motivate, communicate, appreciate our differences, we're gonna educate, elevate, cooperate, collaborate, we gotta motivate, communicate, we gotta think before we speak. Open your mind, open your heart.
United States of America.
Let's learn about the presidents of the United States. The day that they took office was their inauguration date. Now, let's say the presidents in the order they were here. First we'll say the president, then we'll say the year. George Washington,
1789, John Adams, 1797, Thomas Jefferson, 1801, James Madison, 1809, James Monroe, 1817,
John Quincy Adams, 1825,
Andrew Jackson, 1829,
Martin Van Buren, 1837.
The President of the United States of America.
William Henry Harrison, 1841, John Tyler, 1841,
James K. Polk, 1845, Zachary Taylor, 1849,
Millard Fillmore, 1850, Franklin Pierce, 1853,
James Buchanan, 1857, Abraham Lincoln, 1861.
Andrew Johnson, 1865, Ulysses S. Grant, 1869,
Rutherford B. Hayes, 1877, James A. Garfield, 1881,
Chester A. Arthur, 1881,
Grover Cleveland,
1885,
Benjamin Harrison, 1889,
Cleveland,
1893.
The presidents of the United States of America.
William McKinley, 1897.
Theodore Roosevelt, 1901.
William Howard Taft, 1909.
Woodrow Wilson,
1913.
Harding, 1921.
Calvin Coolidge, 1923.
Herbert Hoover, 1929.
Franklin D. Roosevelt, 1933.
Harry S. Truman, 1945.
Dwight D. Eisenhower,
1953.
John F. Kennedy, 1961. Lyndon B. Johnson, 1963. Richard M. Nixon, 1969. Gerald R. Ford, 1974.
Jimmy Carter, 1977. Ronald Reagan, 1981.
The presidents of the United States of America.
George Bush, 1989. Bill Clinton, 1990. 1963, George W. Bush. 2001, Barack Obama. 2009, Donald Trump. 2017, Joe Biden. 2021.
Today, we're going to talk about the president's job. In the United States, the president is the leader of the executive branch. Do you know what the president does? Let's find out. U.S. citizens vote for a new president every 4 years. They choose from a group of people called candidates. These candidates want to become the next president of the United States of America. But not everyone can be a president. There are a few special rules. The president of the United States must be a U.S. citizen born in America, at least 35 years old, a U.S. resident, or someone who lives in America for at least 14 years. When a new president is elected, they become the leader of the executive branch. The president is also known as the Commander-in-Chief of the United States Armed Forces. The ceremony marking the beginning of a new president's duties takes place in front of the Capitol Building in Washington, D.C. At the ceremony, the new leader of the country promises to preserve and protect the Constitution of the United States. Then, the new president moves to the White House to live and work. The White House is located in Washington, D.C., which is the capital of the United States. Each morning, the president goes to the Oval Office of the White House to work. One of the president's duties is to sign important papers. These can include bills passed by Congress. The U.S. president nominates a group of people who will advise and assist him in his duties. Together, these people form the Cabinet of the United States. Ambassadors, Supreme Court judges, and other senior officials are also nominated by the president. The President of the United States travels all over the world to talk to other leaders. Thanks for watching. Goodbye.
Well, folks, thank you for helping me celebrate the presidents of the United States of America here on Amy's Kids Show. Yes, that is our subject today. We are celebrating the presidents of the United States of America. And you might be wondering, geez, Amy, how did we go from celebrating neighbors to celebrating the rock star of the world, practically, the president of the United States of America, who is probably like the most famous government leader in the world? I mean, everybody knows the president's name, usually, no matter where you go on the entire planet. So that sort of makes them like a superstar, right? But actually, you know, your neighbors are as cool and important as the president. And the president is as cool and important as your neighbors. And we're going to find out why, because today I'm going to read a book called So You Want to Be President. And it's going to help us understand just how normal our presidents are and how different, right? Like our neighbors are normal and different. We're all normal and different, right? So we're going to learn about our presidents. This is called So You Want to Be President by Judith St. George. The illustrations are by David Small. And it's a really good book. And maybe it's because when I was a little girl, there was a president that was newly elected when I was a little girl, and his name was Jimmy Carter, and his daughter's name was Amy. So when my parents went off to vote, and I think they voted for Jimmy Carter, I can't remember, but I'm pretty sure that's what they told me anyway. And I was encouraging them to do that. Why? Because his daughter's name was Amy. So I've been thinking about the president, and having an Amy in the White House since I was a little girl. Not specifically me, necessarily. But maybe some of you have thought about being president. And why not? Why not, right? But what we're going to learn about is how our neighbors are just as important. So you don't have to be the president to be an important person in our country. In fact, the president could not do their job without everyone else helping. In fact, that's how it works, right? They're just one person. They might be the most famous, but they're not necessarily the most important, right? We're all important, and we're all different. So here we go. So You Want to Be President. There are good things about being president, and there are bad things about being president. One of the good things is that the president lives in a big white house called the White House. Another good thing about being president is that the president has a swimming pool, a bowling alley, and a movie theater in the White House. The president never has to take out the garbage. The president doesn't even have to eat vegetables. As a boy, George Bush had to eat broccoli. When George Bush grew up, he became president. That was the end of the broccoli. One of the bad things about being president is that the president always has to be dressed up. William McKinley wore a frock coat, a vest, pinstriped trousers, stiff white shirt, black satin tie, gloves, a top hat, and a red carnation in his buttonhole every day. The president also has to be polite to everyone. The president can't go anywhere alone. And the president has lots of homework. People also get mad at the president. Someone once threw a cabbage at William Howard Taft. That didn't bother Taft. He quipped, "I see that one of my adversaries has lost his head." Can you tell what adversaries means in that sentence there? Adversaries. Throwing cabbages. Lots of people want to be president. If you want to be president, it might help if your name is James. Six presidents were named James. President Carter liked to be called Jimmy. Four Johns. Four Williams. President Clinton liked to be called Bill, two Georges, two Andrews, and two Franklins all became president. Wow, so maybe if you have something in common with these presidents here, maybe you can jump up and down. Do you have anything in common with these presidents? Maybe your name is Bill or George or John? You probably weren't born in a log cabin. That's too bad. People are crazy about log cabin presidents. They elected 8 of them. William Harrison was born in a big Virginia mansion, though he won the election with a log cabin and hard cider slogan. Anybody out there been born in a log cabin? Well, apparently that puts you high on the list of probabilities of becoming the president. If you want to be president, your size doesn't matter either. Presidents have come in all shapes and sizes. Abraham Lincoln was the tallest, 6 feet 4 inches, and his stovepipe hat made him look even taller. James Madison was the smallest, 5 feet 4 inches, and only 100 pounds. William Howard Taft was the biggest, more than 300 pounds. He was so big that he had a special tub built for his White House bathroom. 4 men could have fit in the tub that he used. Maybe Taft's problem was that presidents can order any food they want. Andrew Johnson once served his guests turtle soup, oysters, fish, beef, turkey, mutton chops, chicken, mushrooms, string beans, partridges, duck, pudding, jellies, and lots of wine, all at one dinner. Though the Constitution says you'll have to wait until you're 35 years old, young, old, and in between have become president. Theodore Teddy Roosevelt, at 42, was the youngest. He had pillow fights with his children and played football on the White House lawn. You must always remember that the president is about 6, a friend once said of him. He acts like a 6-year-old. Ronald Reagan was the oldest, well, at the time that this book was written. When he first ran for president, he was 69. He joked that it was the 30th anniversary of his 39th birthday. Huh. And as for temperaments, there's a wide range of temperaments amongst the presidents, too. Temperaments means kind of how quickly you get angry, right? What's your temperament? Are you kind of relaxed? Does it take a lot for you to get angry? Or are you kind of what they call hot-headed? Do you get angry right away? Well, let's find out about the presidents and their temperaments. Maybe you have something in common with some of them. See, some presidents joked and some didn't. Presidents' personalities have all been different. William McKinley was so nice that he tried to stop a mob from attacking the man who had just shot him. Benjamin Harrison was so cold that one senator said talking to Harrison was like talking to a hitching post. Calvin Coolidge was so shy and quiet that a dinner guest once made a bet that she could get him to say more than 2 words. "You lose," he told her. That's 2 words. You lose. Wow, good for him. Andrew Jackson certainly wasn't shy. When he ran for president, his opponents printed a list of his duels, fights, shootings, and brawls. Whoa, those are... He would fight, sounds like. 14 in all. Wow, a president who had been involved in 14 different physical fights. Whoa, that's a hothead for sure. And don't worry about your looks. Abraham Lincoln was a homely man, but he was one of our best presidents. Someone once called Lincoln two-faced. "If I am two-faced, would I wear the face that I have now?" Lincoln asked. He sounds like he has a good sense of humor, too. Warren Harding was a handsome man, but he was one of our worst presidents. He gave government jobs to his crooked friends. "I am not fit for this office and never should have been here," he admitted. Do you have pesky brothers and sisters? Well, every one of our presidents did too. Benjamin Harrison takes the prize. He had 11. It's lucky he grew up on a 600-acre farm. James Polk and James Buchanan both had 9 brothers and sisters. George Washington, Thomas Jefferson, James Madison, and John Kennedy each had 8 siblings. 2 of the presidents were orphans, Andrew Jackson and Herbert Hoover. A president in your family tree is also a plus. John Quincy Adams was John Adams' son. Theodore Roosevelt and Franklin Roosevelt were 5th cousins. Benjamin Harrison was William Harrison's grandson. James Madison and Zachary Taylor were 2nd cousins. And the list goes on of residents who have had some relation to each other through their family. Some presidents threw money around, and some were penny pinchers. James Monroe ordered French silverware, china, candlesticks, chandeliers, clocks, mirrors, vases, rugs, draperies, and furniture for the White House. 93 crates in all expensive French stuff for the White House. He went on a spending spree. William Harrison was thrifty. He walked to the market every morning with a basket over his arm to go find the best deals for breakfast. Oh, let's see. Maybe you have something in common with the presidents in the pet department. Do you have a pet? All kinds of pets have lived in the White House. Mostly dogs. Herbert Hoover had 3 dogs, Piney, Snowflake, and Tut. Tut must have been a Democrat. He and his Republican master never got along. Roosevelt's dog, Franklin Roosevelt's dog, Fala, was almost as famous as his owner. George Bush's dog wrote Millie's book, Adventures of a White House Dog, as reported to Mrs. Bush. Ulysses Grant had horses. Benjamin Harrison's goat pulled his grandchildren around in a cart. And the Coolidges had a pet raccoon. Jimmy Carter and Bill Clinton preferred cats. Theodore Roosevelt's children didn't just have pets, they ran a zoo. They had dogs, cats, guinea pigs, snakes, mice, rats, badgers, raccoons, parrots, and a Shetland pony called Algonquin. To cheer up his sick brother, young Quentin once took Algonquin the horse upstairs in the White House elevator. You don't have to be musical to be president. Ulysses Grant certainly wasn't. He knew only 2 tunes. One is Yankee Doodle, he said, and the other one isn't. Those are the 2 that he knew, Yankee Doodle and the other one isn't. But many presidents were musical. Thomas Jefferson, John Tyler, and Woodrow Wilson played the violin. John Quincy Adams, the flute. Chester Arthur, the banjo. Harry Truman and Richard Nixon played the piano, Bill Clinton the saxophone, and Warren Harding almost any brass instrument, including the sousaphone. Some presidents knew how to dance, and some didn't. Our first president did a mean minuet. At his inaugural ball, George Washington danced with every lady but his wife. Mrs. W. had stayed home. James Madison's opinion of his inaugural ball? I would much rather be in bed. And Abraham Lincoln wasn't much of a dancer. Miss Todd, I should like to dance with you the worst way, he told his future wife. Miss Todd later said to a friend. He certainly did. And Woodrow Wilson liked to do the jig step while singing silly ditties. You don't have to be musical to be president. Oh, whoops. Though most presidents went to college, nine did not. George Washington, Andrew Jackson, Martin Van Buren, Zachary Taylor, Millard Fillmore, Abraham Lincoln, Andrew Johnson, Grover Cleveland, and Harry Truman did not go to college. Andrew Johnson couldn't read until he was 14. He didn't learn to write until after he was married. Wow. Thomas Jefferson was top-notch in the brains department. He was an expert on agriculture, law, politics, music, geography, surveying, philosophy, and botany. In his spare time, he designed his own house, a mansion, founded the University of Virginia, and whipped up the Declaration of Independence. If you want to be president, you might consider joining the army. George Washington, Andrew Jackson, William Harrison, Zachary Taylor, Ulysses Grant, Rutherford Hayes, James Garfield, Chester Arthur, Benjamin Harrison, and Dwight Eisenhower were all generals. If you can't be a general, be a hero like Theodore Roosevelt or John Kennedy. Roosevelt's Rough Riders charged up Kettle Hill to help win the Spanish-American War, and Kennedy led his crew to safety in World War II when the Japanese sank his PT boat. Don't be a Franklin Pierce. In his very first battle, Franklin Pierce's horse bucked. He was thrown against his saddle, and he fainted. His horse fell and broke his leg, and Pierce hurt his knee. He got elected president anyway. Another route to the White House is to be vice president, although most don't think much of the job. Truman's vice president, Elbin Barkley, told about a man who had two sons. One son went to sea, the other was elected vice president. Neither was ever heard from again. And who's ever heard of Elbin Barkley, right? Other vice presidents have been heard from. John Adams, Thomas Jefferson, Martin Van Buren, Richard Nixon, and George Bush were all elected president. Gerald Ford became president when Richard Nixon resigned. And John Tyler, Millard Fillmore, Calvin Coolidge, and Harry Truman moved up when a president got sick and died. Andrew Johnson, Chester Arthur, Theodore Roosevelt, and Lyndon Johnson became the top man when guns were drawn, bullets flew, and a president was assassinated. Almost any job can lead to the White House. Presidents have been lawyers, teachers, farmers, sailors, engineers, surveyors, mayors, governors, congressmen, senators, and ambassadors. Harry Truman owned a men's shop. Andrew Johnson was a tailor. And Ronald Reagan was even a movie actor before he became the president. One thing is for certain. If you want to be president and stay president, be honest. Harry Truman paid for his own postage stamps. Grover Cleveland was famous for his motto, tell the truth. Other presidents weren't so honest. Democrat Bill Clinton was impeached for lying under oath. Republican Richard Nixon's staff broke into the Democratic headquarters to steal campaign secrets. He covered up the crime and then lied about it. And that was the end of Richard Nixon as president. Well, here they are, a mixed bag of 41 presidents. What did they think of being head man? Well, George Washington, who became our very first president in 1789, worried about his new line of work. "I greatly fear that my countrymen will expect too much from me," he wrote to a friend. He was a howling success. Some loved the job. "No president has ever enjoyed himself as much as I," Theodore Roosevelt said. Others hated it. "The four most miserable years of my life," John Quincy Adams complained. It is said that people who run for president have swelled heads. It is said that people who run for president are greedy. They want power. They want fame. But being president can be wanting to serve your country, like George Washington, who left the Virginia plantation he loved three times to lead the country he loved even more. Every single president has taken this oath. "I do solemnly swear or affirm that I will faithfully execute the office of president of the United States, and I will do the best of my ability to preserve, protect, and defend the Constitution of the United States." Only 35 words, but it's a big order when you're the president of this country. Abraham Lincoln was tops at filling that order. "I know very well that many others might in this matter, as in others, do better than I can," he said. "But I am here. I must do the best I can and bear the responsibility of taking the course which I feel I ought to take." And that's it. That's the bottom line. Tall, short, fat, thin, talkative, quiet, vain, humble, lawyer, teacher, or soldier. This is what most of our presidents have tried to do, each in their own way. Some succeeded, some failed. If you want to be president, a good president, pattern yourself after the best. Our best have asked more of themselves than they thought they could give. They have had the courage, spirit, and will to do what they knew was right. Most of all, their first priority has always been the people and the country they served. The end. Well, maybe you had some things in common with some of those people who have been president, and maybe not. And just like we were saying, your neighbors are as cool and important as the president, but the president is also as cool and important and different as your neighbors. All right. So we're going to celebrate the Constitution right now, because the Constitution is actually where the president gets their power and where they are told they have to share it, actually. They don't have all the power. No, not at all. They share it with the other branches of government. Thank you for joining me for Amy's Kids Show.
Constitution, the law that's supreme all across the Union.
Constitution, Constitution,
the founders agreed we would need a solution.
It's a great work,
the framework of our nation.
It's a great work, one of the greatest on paper.
Constitution, Constitution, the law that's supreme across the Union.
September 17th, 1787, in the Pennsylvania State House, a meeting was ending. A secret convention, delegates from 12 states. Here's what they came up with after months of debates.
We the people of the United States
rights claim justice, liberty, all that relates. In the preamble, lots of pride you'll find. The mission statement of what the founders designed.
Following the preamble, there are seven articles. First one says who makes the laws and rules. It's the legislative branch, that's what their job is. House and the Senate both, known as the Congress.
The leader we choose through Article 2 is the President. Executive power ensues as Commander-in-Chief with the ability to guide the country through war and treaty.
You'll see from Article 3, we have judiciary. That means the courts that can punish or set free. And if there's ever the question,
is this law constitutional?
We'll ask the Supreme Court, it should know.
Constitution, Constitution, the law that's supreme all across the Union.
Constitution, Constitution, the founders agreed we would need a solution.
It's a great work, the framework of our nation.
It's a great work, one of the greatest on paper.
Constitution, Constitution, the law that's supreme across the Union.
To create a new state in the land we adore, Congress must agree, reads Article 4. All these states work together, yes, the Union is one, a brotherhood to protect from invasion.
Article 5 could be why this work has survived. It says we can change it to keep with the times. Two-thirds of the House and of the Senate, plus approval from the states, makes a new amendment.
Every judge and every court must understand, Constitution is supreme, law of the land. And elected officials must agree with this list, bowing to an oath, part of Article 6.
Well, the seventh and the last of the articles we sing about is about how the Constitution came about. When 9 states signed it and were satisfied, that's when it could take effect, what we call ratified.
These 7 articles are the foundation, layers of guidelines that help build our nation. First Congress meeting would lead to something bright,
like
the 10 amendments known as the Bill of Rights.
Constitution, Constitution, the law that's supreme all across the Union.
Constitution, Constitution, the founders agreed we would need a solution.
It's a great work, the framework of our nation.
It's a great work, one of the greatest on paper.
Constitution, Constitution, the law that's supreme across the Union.
Thank you. not to see the will of the majority. Congress makes the laws, our courts interpret laws. The executive branch leads and enforces the laws. The creation of a nation with states' cooperation needs our participation, so that we the people keep the land we love, because we the people are America. The will of the majority. Congress makes the laws, our courts interpret laws. The executive branch leads and enforces the laws. The creation of a nation with states' cooperation needs our participation, so that we the people keep the land we love, because we the people are America.
States of America, for the United States. States of America.
Yo, yo, by Duncan. 1787, the Constitution was written as a better form of government compared to Britain. They chose a republic, not democratic way to rule. So government would use the Constitution as a tool. A democracy could oppress the minority, but a republic made everyone's rights a priority. Powers were broken into three and made official.
Well, folks, that is exactly the point that we're going to pick up with next time on Amy's Kids Show, because as surprising as it may seem that your neighbors are as cool and important as the President of the United States, we're going to find out that's not only the only thing that's true that's surprising. The other thing that's super surprising is that the President is as cool and important as your neighbors. Because next week on Amy's Kids Show, we are going on a field trip and we are going to meet our neighbors who are part of our local government. See, a lot of times we don't think a lot about government, right? We just sort of take it for granted. Government, it's just this thing, right, that happens and people just vote for the president and that's all, right? Well, there's a lot more to it. In fact, we are so lucky here in the United States of America, thanks to our Constitution, which we were just celebrating with those great songs, and we'll hear more of those next week. Our Constitution, well, that's the agreement that we humans living here in the United States of America have made. We made it a long time ago. Our forefathers made it a long time ago so that we could share our power. See, it's not all about the president. The president gets a lot of attention, like a superstar or something. But actually, the president is very limited in their power. And the president is only one person. It's sort of like at your school. Does anybody out there go to school? And have you noticed in your school, there's the principal, right? Who's the principal? Everybody knows the principal usually, right? But does the principal do everything? No. In fact, if only the principal came to school and no other grown-ups, what do you think would happen? We wouldn't have a school. So really, the president is just maybe the most popular, or maybe I wouldn't even say popular, maybe famous, right? The most well-known of the people in the school, but certainly does not do it alone. And those of you out there who care, I know there are a lot of you out there, if you care about your neighborhood, maybe you care so much about your neighborhood that you've thought of being president, or maybe you think you're too shy to be president. Well, that's why we read this book today, because I just thought it was so interesting how different our presidents are. And that got me thinking about my neighbors and how different they are, and how so many of them are stepping up to help make sure that things happen in our neighborhoods. And we're going to meet some of those people. We're going on a field trip next week to meet our town clerk. Oh, how fun, guys. I love it. On Amy's Kids Show, remember, you're the greatest. Thanks for joining me.
See the future. I know we can team up and make some
somewhere, yeah, places I've never been, yeah, going on a tour without a care. I want to take a little trip somewhere, yeah, places I've never been, yeah, going on a tour.
First I'm gonna see Nashville, Tennessee. Then Madison, Wisconsin is where I gotta be. Yeah, then I'll take a plane to... Well, actually, I'm afraid to fly, so I think I'll take the train.
Let's go, go, go!
Going to Trenton, New Jersey, Frankfort, Kentucky. Maybe take a trip to Jackson, Mississippi. Let's see what they can show me. In Jefferson City, Missouri. Santa Fe, New Mexico. Denver, Colorado. Boise, Idaho. I love it every time that I go. In 1492, he sailed the ocean blue. But next week, I'll see Columbus in Ohio. Grab a little sunshine in Tallahassee, Florida. Take a bite of a peach in Atlanta, Georgia. I've never been to Carson City in Nevada or Lincoln, Nebraska. You can catch me in Phoenix, Arizona or Sacramento, California. Yeah, St. Paul, Minnesota. Maybe Juneau, Alaska, yeah. I want to take a little trip somewhere, yeah. Places I've never been, yeah. Going on a tour without a care. I want to take a little trip somewhere, yeah. Places I've never been, yeah. Going on a tour, tour.
Boston, Massachusetts, Concord, New Hampshire. Going to Vermont for Montpelier. Montgomery, Alabama, then Washington, D.C. to see the nation's capital. Aloha to Honolulu, Hawaii, Des Moines, Iowa, so peaceful to me. Going to Springfield, Illinois, to build a little house on a prairie. In Little Rock, Arkansas, I love what I saw. Going back to Dover, Delaware, cause I want more. Indianapolis, Indiana, and Hartford, Connecticut, need an encore. Smelling pine trees in Augusta, Maine, I like Topeka, Kansas. I'm glad that I came, but I never been to Salt Lake City in Utah or Richmond, Virginia. Gonna see Bismarck, North Dakota, in Charleston, West Virginia, yeah. Annapolis, Maryland, maybe Lansing, Michigan, yeah. Helena, Montana, Columbia, South Carolina. Gotta go to Pierre, South Dakota, yeah, follow if you wanna. I'll be eating a banana in Baton Rouge, Louisiana. Schedule that on my planner. Friends say I gotta come sooner to Oklahoma City, Oklahoma, so I guess I'm gonna. But first I'm going to Cheyenne, Wyoming, then party in Raleigh, North Carolina. Yeah. Harrisburg, Pennsylvania, can't think of a rhyme for Pennsylvania. So I'm skipping to Salem, Oregon, then Austin, Texas, and then maybe Albany, New York for breakfast. Providence, Rhode Island was a blast, and Olympia, Washington was just the bestest.
I want to take a little trip somewhere, yeah, places I've never been, yeah. Going on a tour without a care. I want to take a little trip somewhere, yeah, places I've never been, yeah. Going on a tour. I want to take a little trip somewhere.